So if you have the three elite offenses and in four losses they score 51, 40, 40, and 35, you're not beating them because you stopped them. You're beating them because there's one play somewhere in that game that there's a pressure, tip pass, linebacker returns it for a touchdown. Now that's almost like two scores, and it's kind of a 14-point swing. It's hard to come back from that.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You heard it. I'm RJ live coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. We've got an action-packed Tuesday for you. Remember, guys, Thanksgiving, a couple days away. Yeah, turkey, but that means football. It also means not our typical show on Thursday or Friday here on Straight Out of Vegas, which means we've got to get 4 days worth of shows into 2 days. That's double, Fez. I mean, I wasn't a Northwestern grad, but that is double. Speaking of Fez, joining us in studio, Steve Fezzik, 2-time Super Contest champion, NFL expert, and on the college side with all the college knowledge, Brad Powers. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. Here's my personal promise. We will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You can't have pros without Joes. He's Jonas Knox.
Thanks, RJ. Always good to be here as we come to you live here on Straight Out of Vegas from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we start in the NFL. One of the great regular season games in recent memory saw the Rams beat the Chiefs in a shootout 54-51 last night. RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on the highest scoring Monday night football game ever?
Yeah, true. And one of the highest scoring NFL games. You know, I want to pull back the curtain a little bit on the radio show, because everybody knows radio has commercials. Radio is 10-minute chunks of information. And it's always a balance, especially with a show like Straight Out of Vegas, which is 1 hour only. And I love that, actually. Why? Because every day we got more than enough good information, more than enough stuff we want to get to. One of the things we're planning on soon is having overtime on the podcast. So with the podcast, you'll be able to get anything you missed, but then there might be 10, 12 minutes of overtime exclusive. That should be fun. But it's always a balance between, do we do 10 topics and go 2 inches deep, or do we do 5 topics and go 4 inches deep, or some combination? This is going to be a rare thing. I want to take the whole first segment and break this game down, because I think it was fascinating as a game, but I think it's even more important, this Monday night game, as a sign of where the NFL is in 2018. And if you're a fan or if you're a bettor, both, doesn't matter. Understanding where the league is will help you enjoy the league, or quite frankly, make money from the NFL. So Fez, let me ask you this. Of all the things you saw on Monday night, what was your biggest takeaway?
I think we've got to talk about the total that went 42 points over, the highest posted total we've seen in the Super Bowl era, RJ. So the total 63, they score 105 points. And what I saw is two offenses that couldn't be stopped and two defenses that look like their priority was more to get turnovers and to make aggressive plays, knowing that they were unable to stop the opponent.
Now, when you say couldn't be stopped, I think, and I get it, right? That's kind of a cliche, but I don't think that's what happened. How many punts did they have?
There were 7 punts.
Okay. Now, before the game, could you have bet on over, under a number, certain number of punts?
You could. It was 6.5.
Okay. So let me think about this a second. Wait, that's more punts than we expected. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, so couldn't be stopped, more punts than expected. Explain.
Couldn't be stopped, maybe a generality. Let's say very...
That's a generous generality.
Correct.
So what we're saying here is the offenses were super high pace, right? Because if you think about scoring, It's always going to be a combination of how many possessions you have and how many points per possession. So imagine if you score a touchdown every time, but you have five possessions, and then you can figure out the math. Oh, you only score 70% of the time, but you got 10 possessions. Well, you're going to win. You're going to score more, even though you don't score as efficiently. So scoring is about efficiency plus possessions. Agreed?
I do.
Monday Night Football, that was a fantastic game. If you bet the over, we talked about it yesterday. I, being not as sharp of a bettor, because I'm awful at it, as RJ and the rest of the guys, my thinking going in was, oh, you've got to fade the over. You've got to fade the over-under. But instead, RJ was spot on again. It's why he makes money at this, and I do not. I would have taken the under. RJ would have taken the over, and of course he got paid.
Well, remember, Jonas, is we did. I felt so ambivalent, and that was very kind, but I felt so ambivalent about the over because, to me, I felt like, and history tells us, that the overs do exceptionally well in these super high totaled games. In fact, and this is history over 30 NFL seasons, there's been now 15 games with a total 58 or above. And we actually have one this weekend coming up on Thursday. Falcons Saints is at 60 right now. But 15 prior, 12 overs, 3 unders. Now, your instinct yesterday, Jonas, is mine in a way, which is we know the public tends to overreact. Oh, my gosh, there's going to be so much scoring. Thus, you'd think there'd be a premium on the over. And thus, value would be on the under, right? Okay, the number was 64. Maybe it should be 61. That difference is the public overreacting. And thus, long-term, unders would win on the super high total. No. I think what's going on is a combination of what we were talking about a minute ago, Fez, which is the idea that there's so many possessions. And let me be specific about what I meant just a minute ago. If you have... How many turnovers was it? Was it six?
Seven turnovers.
If you have seven turnovers and more punts, you had 14 possessions without a score, right? If you punt seven times and turn the ball over seven times, you've got 14 combined offensive possessions without a score. Agree?
Agree.
In a given game, if I had to say over, under, how many offensive possessions are going to be without a score, what would you say the average NFL game would be?
13.
Is that, how'd you know that? Is that a number you know?
Well, punts are normally like 10, and then turnovers 2.5 to 3.
I mean, listen, Fez, sometimes people are like, RJ, you're too hard on Fez. And it's like, he's got so much talent. We so just want to get that information out there.
He's been like f***ing brain surgeon.
And that was one of the great moments that he came up with that number.
It's unbelievable.
Instantly. So what you're telling me is one of the highest scoring games of all time had more than an average number of offensive possessions that didn't result in a score.
Yes.
So what could it be, Fez?
Pace.
Number of possessions, right? So however we think about, so imagine if they had a super efficient game, like with no turnover. Now, again, the flip side is that the turnovers on occasions led to scores, you know, directly.
Yeah, there were three defensive touchdowns, so surely.
Exactly. So to me, it goes to show you that it's so difficult with these super elite teams, offensive teams in the NFL, to stop them, that the ability to have high impact defensive plays, right? Interceptions returned for a touchdown, strip sacks. That is what maybe makes a great defense against these teams. The Ravens, if they're playing the Jets, yeah, Jets don't have a great offense. They don't even have an average offense. The old school way of playing defense still works. But let's think about the best offenses in the NFL. If I said these are the clearly best offenses, Kansas City, New Orleans, Los Angeles Rams. Does that sound right?
Good.
Okay. These teams combined have lost 4 games this season. Kansas City, 2. In those games, they scored 51 points in the loss, 40 points in the loss, Kansas City. Saints, 1 loss, 40 points. Rams, 1 loss, 35 points. So if you have the three elite offenses and in four losses they score 51, 40, 40, and 35, you're not beating them because you stopped them. You're beating them because there's one play somewhere in that game that there's a pressure, tip pass, linebacker returns it for a touchdown. Now that's almost like two scores because, hey, if you're scoring almost every time and you get and it's kind of a 14-point swing, it's hard to come back from that.
It's almost like a tennis match. You're breaking serve when you somehow
against
keep
like
them.
A Sampras. That's,
right?
That's a great analogy. Fez is hot today.
Yeah, he is.
Great. And that. So here's my point. We can debate the play timeout management at the end of games. We can debate game management in general. And I heard a lot of that today. But if there was just one less impact play, if one of those returns for a touchdown that the Rams had didn't happen, Kansas City wins, right?
Yes.
Likely. You never know if one thing happens. So to me, there's two takeaways in a macro sense. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, wrapping up what I consider to be one of the most important games of the last 5 years about where the NFL is, this Monday night game. And it's amazing to think they had more possessions in an average game without a score. So we know it's all about the number of possessions, pace, and we know it's so hard for these defenses to really stop these teams that the impact plays matter on defense, not so much, hey, can you stop the run on a third and one? Yeah, that sounds like it'd be nice, but it doesn't seem to work.
Well, and NFL owners are knowing this. Now, who you pay? You pay your pass rushers and you pay your shutdown corners on defense now.
Yeah, and I think, and I'm not sure about the shutdown corners anymore, right? I think even a couple years ago you saw that, but we saw in the safety market and the cornerback market a lot softer, but getting that pressure, because remember that last play from Mahomes, what was it? You know, or the two possessions at the end that Kansas City didn't score, a lot of it was about pressure on Mahomes. And if you look at Kansas City, New Orleans, and the Rams, they're going to score. And they're the three best teams in the NFL.
Yes. New Orleans, clearly my number one, though.
The fourth best team and fifth, most people would agree, and Fez, you agree, the Patriots and the Steelers. Think about this. 1, 2, and 3, Kansas City, Saints, and the Rams all are going to pretty much score every game. 4 and 5 are the only two other teams, New England and Pittsburgh, that on a given Sunday that isn't some exception, rather just a good game, not a great game, Pittsburgh can put up 50, New England can put up 50. And then there's no other team in that conversation. But what a coincidence. The five best offenses in the NFL are the five best teams in the NFL. Fez, seems like defense wins championships. Probably not the case in 2018.
It's a whole new world. I agree.
When we come back, we are going to talk about the biggest disagreements between ESPN, Colin Cowherd, the Associated Press, and our pros.
That's coming up next here on Straight Outta Vegas. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of minutes, we will have Pros versus the World here on Straight Out of Vegas.
Every weekday, well, except for holidays, we bring Vegas and the fun of Vegas straight to you right now on the Strip. 67 degrees and the neon is blinking.
RJ, you have talked about this before when it comes to the NFL, and there's a number that is one of the most important numbers when it comes to betting, and that number is 3. How much of an impact does that have weekly on NFL games around the league?
Well, listen, we've seen, it's almost like, you know how like there's people that believe strongly in climate change, or they believe strongly in rights for this group or that group, and you know, a lot of really righteous people there. Imagine if there was someone that was so adamant about key numbers in the NFL. The last 5 days of NFL games on the featured key games on Thursday and Monday especially would have been an advertisement for key numbers. So on Wednesday last week, 6 days ago, we gave an early best bet Thursday night, Seattle minus 2.5. Line went up to 3 on Thursday. On Thursday, straight out of Vegas, we said, you know something? We've bet this, Fez and I, it's in our pocket at 2.5. It's now a lean because Seattle, 3 is such a key number. Well, what happens, Fez?
Lands right on the 3.
We cash. Many others don't. Then yesterday, I gave out as a Monday night best bet. I said, listen, I still like this. This was a rare case. I like this game so much. But we had played it and talked about it on different venues and even on Straight Out of Vegas. It wasn't an official best bet at that point yet. We talked about we loved Kansas City at 3.5. So this is coming at the other direction. The underdog at 3.5 falls 3, even with 100-plus points scored. Guys, listen, in the NFL, if you win, you're betting numbers and losers bet teams. That's the most important thing you got to realize. It's not about teams. It's about numbers. And 3, as Jonas said, is the most key number in the NFL. If a game has a spread around 3, the favorite wins by exactly 3, like last night, like Thursday, almost 10% of the time. And Fez, on Sunday night, the other TV game, it almost happened again.
And this is the one that I lost, RJ. I bet the Vikings plus 3, and they're down 5 going for a 2-point conversion. That had a 50% chance to also land on 3.
Yeah, because you make that 2 half the time, and then we would have had a 3 again, which, again, that was a tough number to get. We got it. I lost with you, but we would have pushed. But if you have 2.5, there was no pushing. There was no winning.
Drawing dead.
You were that's a good way to think about it. Drawing dead. So to me, guys, listen, the most common question I get, RJ, they say, I have a job. I want to bet smarter. I want to win more, but I can't do it exactly like a pro. I can't do it fully like a pro. But how can I find that middle ground? And to me, having a high priority, valuing the key number, any number in the NFL, but the key numbers especially, and not betting when you get the worst of it, is probably the best advice I could give of a simple way to start betting more like a pro. Jonas, is that something you think you'll do?
Well, I think that I'll do it, but I can't control how many cocktails I have when I go to log in and try and bet. I mean, that's the problem. It gets away from me sometimes. I'm being honest, though.
You got to appreciate the honesty. I do.
guys, this Friday, it's a huge event. It is Tiger versus Phil. You can watch the historic head-to-head 18-hole duel between iconic Tiger Woods and 5-time major champion Phil Mickelson for a winner-take-all $9 million. Capital One's The Match is live from Las Vegas this Friday, November 23rd at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific. Watch on br.live and pay-per-view. Every single week here on Straight Outta Vegas, we challenge the people that are usually not challenged. We are not afraid of anybody on this show. It's time for this.
It's the pros versus the world.
So we start with ESPN, who has the Redskins 14th in their power rankings. Steve Fezzik, NFL expert, what say you?
I say Washington is my number 28 team. They are overrated. ESPN is wrong. It is all about the O-line injuries for Washington. They had 3 starters go down, and since that happened, they've scored 14 points, 16 points, and 21 points. I had lowered Washington to number 24.
So let's back up a minute. So those point totals don't sound horrendous, not good, not 30-plus, but what defenses did Washington play in the first 2 of those games?
The 2 worst defenses, according to Football Outsiders, Atlanta and Tampa Bay.
So think about that. It's one thing to score less than 20 points. It's another against, as you said, certainly beyond debate, 2 of the worst defenses in the NFL. And correct me if I'm wrong, but since those 2 games, Washington last week had another injury during the game on the O-line. So even those 2 games, the Skins were better, had better health on the O-line than they do right now.
Correct. And so with Alex Smith now out, the Redskins are even worse. They're a bottom five NFL team.
No. Now, that's an interesting point. So when I was talking about the additional injury, I wasn't talking about Alex Smith. That's a key point. But we're talking about the idea of, wow, so you're telling me ESPN, did that poll came out after Alex Smith got hurt, obviously, right? He got hurt during the game. So they think that with Colt McCoy, Washington is the 14th best team?
That's what they put out.
Boy, if only ESPN had a sports book. In about a year, I'd own like 5% of ESPN.
The next victim on Steve Fezzik's list is Colin Cowherd, who had the Cowboys ranked 8th in his latest herd hierarchy. Steve Fezzik, where do you have Dallas?
And remember, Jonas Fez, no sacred cows here. You know, I don't mean to necessarily have fighting. There's no animus towards Colin. We love Colin. The Straight Out of Vegas loves Colin, right? And by the way, tomorrow we'll have an early pick number 6 from Colin. Usually on Friday, we get it exclusively on Straight Out of Vegas. It'll be bottom of the hour, 6:30 Eastern tomorrow. But Fez, I don't care if it's my brother. We tell the truth here. Colin's wrong.
Yeah, Dallas Cowboys, I have them number 13. Colin has them overrated in his top 10 at number 8. I got to tell you, RJ, you look at who the Cowboys have played, pretty easy strength of schedule. And in fact, they have not played one team that is currently in my top 8 ranked NFL teams. Despite that, they're only 5-5.
And that's an important concept. Once you get done with a full season of NFL 16 games, the schedules are pretty similar, though you can have exceptions where, oh, I think the Ravens last year had a long stretch of playing backup quarterbacks. Quirks that can make one team or a handful of teams with a big strength of schedule disparity. But when you're only 10 games in, there can be a real disparity. So what you're saying is Dallas hasn't played a single team in your top what?
Top 8.
So, wow, think about that. And obviously, if they had, tougher to win, and thus their record somewhat deceiving. By coincidence, no. Washington and Dallas are playing each other, so two overrated teams. Do you have a lean, any gut feeling in that game?
I got nothing. I want to bet against both these teams right
and,
now.
And in a way, what you can do is sit back and smile and say, one of them's got to win.
I hope it's an against-the-spread blowout.
Yeah, and then in theory, there's going to be a lot of increased optimism about that winning team, and they're going to be even more overrated. So far in the NFL, Fez against ESPN says the Redskins overrated, and versus Colin Cowherd, you think Colin has Dallas overrated.
Pros versus the world here on Straight Out of Vegas, brought to you by Geico, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Next up is Brad Powers, our college football expert, who will take on the Associated Press, who has Texas A&M ranked 30th. Brad Powers, where do you have the Aggies?
I have the Aggies number 17th, so therefore making Texas A&M underrated. And all we need to do is look at this week's game for Texas A&M to show you how underrated they are. Texas A&M hosting number 8 LSU, a top 10 team. And right now, Texas A&M, not a dog, but a 2.5-point favorite. So keep that in mind. Usually get around 3 points of home field advantage. So basically, Vegas and me are saying Texas A&M only slightly worse than a top 10 team. Yet Texas A&M isn't even in the top 25. A&M, vastly underrated.
So if you said, okay, it's your opinion as a professional batter, Brad Powers, in Vegas, the AP, a media organization, where would you say the Vegas market is?
I would say the Vegas market is right around in course with me. I still have A&M.
So right around in course with you.
Yeah, I did. Okay. Wow, I did say.
No, that's good. Yeah. It's good. It's just you said me wasn't the clearest thing. It was almost like you didn't feel confident saying that.
No, I am very confident that A&M is appropriately power rated in my power ratings.
Okay. So, but right now, though, that's what's fascinating. You couldn't say, oh, Brad Powers said they're overrated. I should go bet on, or underrated. I should go bet on them because they're underrated. No, we're saying the media's got it wrong, but the Vegas betting market, which are the odds, got it right, and you've got it right.
Exactly.
Because sometimes there'll be a situation where the media thinks one thing, Vegas thinks that thing too, and we disagree. That's where you generate bets, right? Here's a situation where you can't necessarily bet it because the Vegas markets agree, but you can sure be more right than your buddy that's looking at the AP. In just 1 minute, we're going to talk about the college football playoff rankings. And there's a factor we're going to be discussing when you watch tonight that really is going to tell you, not for sure, but a good chance of who's going to make the playoffs.
That's coming up next year on Straight Outta Vegas. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Isaac Lohenkron.
Hello, Jonas. This afternoon, the NBA fined Golden State Warriors star Kevin Durant $25,000 for directing inappropriate language toward a fan in Saturday's loss at Dallas. And golf Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson held a joint news conference today in advance of their head-to-head match on Friday.
Every time I see you, you know, I want to be able to rub it in. I don't want it to be rubbed in. You know, I want to sit in the champions locker room in Augusta and talk smack. I want that.
As opposed to.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. NFL Miami Dolphins head coach Adam Gase announced that Ryan Tannehill will start a quarterback Sunday against the Colts after missing five games with a shoulder injury. Veteran defensive back Adam Pac-Man Jones announced on Instagram that he's been released by the Broncos. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have put second-year tight end O.J. Howard on injured reserve after he sustained foot and ankle injuries Sunday against the Giants. In baseball, the Cubs announced that pitching coach Jim Hickey has stepped down for personal reasons. And finally, Adrian Beltre announced his retirement today after 21 seasons and 3,166 career base hits. Back to you.
Thanks, Isaac. Straight Outta Vegas comes to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where it's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio, we will have best bets here on the show. Your chance to make a little bit of coin on a Tuesday night. I am Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Fez, we just heard on our live breaking news that we have Tannehill starting. So how do you – let's adjust Tannehill versus the backup. How many points is he worth?
A healthy Tannehill at 100% would be 3 points better than the ostrich, Osweiler.
The ostrich. Now, did you make up the ostrich?
I did not.
Who did?
It's kind of common. People call him that.
Wow. You love it, though.
I do.
Okay, so 3 points difference. Now – I think it's so important that you said a healthy Tannehill, because we've got an injured player who is so injured he can't play. Then you've got a healthy player. So think of the two ends of the spectrum. But then you've got somewhere in the middle, healthy enough to play, but not 100%. So when you hear these numbers, oh, it's a 7-point downgrade, it's a 1-point downgrade, that's usually going to be from 100% health to not playing and having the backup play. Here, based on the injury, do you have any sense of, is it, because there's certain injuries that you either can play or you can't, but if you can play, you're fine. And then things like ankle, we've all had ankle sprains or whatever, where you can get back on the court, but boy, you're not 100% yet. What's your sense of Tannehill's health right now?
I don't think he's close to 100%, and Osweiler's been playing poorly and they're rushing him back.
By the way, right now, the Colts, oh, boy, Andrew Luck, that O-line looking good. Favored by 9 points at home against the Dolphins.
The college football playoffs will be released. The latest rankings will be released coming up later on tonight. RJ, what does Vegas think the new college football playoff rankings will look like later on?
Yeah, to me, the fascinating part of this, and Brad, when it comes to who the top four is going to be, do you have any real questions?
No change from the last couple of weeks. It's going to be Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Notre Dame 3, Michigan 4.
Okay. And obviously, the big question is, you know, Michigan and Ohio State. And we'll be covering that game tomorrow, 6 o'clock Eastern, live on Fox Sports Radio. Lot of talk on Michigan, Ohio State. This is a rare thing, the college football playoffs, in the following way. We usually are objectively looking at what's going to happen on the field. It's not about feelings. It's not about politics. It's about, in this case, football. But you can't win the national championship if you don't make the playoffs. And we know there is a political element to the playoffs. We can say follow the money. We can say big conference bias. We can say SEC bias. All kind of theories, all kind of opinions. But we know this isn't an objective, at least at minimum, it's not a perfectly objective measure. But you can bet who wins the college football title. Imagine betting the NFL and it's like we're going to vote on who plays in the Super Bowl. Now you wouldn't only be handicapping how good the teams are, you'd be handicapping what the vote is likely to go like. So this to me is more than just, oh, as a fan, I want the Buckeyes to get in, let's say, if they deserve it, like I think they did last year. Hint, hint. But the fact of the matter is, this is about money with the title odds. And here's what strikes me, and I'm going to ask you as the expert, Brad Powers, and I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. I think the most likely scenario here is the SEC, very likely Alabama, is in.
Yep. Right?
That's clear. The winner of that game's in. Now, the question is, if Bama loses against Georgia, are they also in? But let's forget that complexity. Clemson, who amazingly hasn't given up a competitive defensive touchdown since September. That's right, September. It's almost December. I think they are very likely to win out and be in.
Yep.
And I think Notre Dame now, we know it's one thing has to happen. Notre Dame needs to beat USC. Now, the line's about 10, right? So if we did the math on take the money line, take out the VIG, what right now does the Vegas market say the percentage chance of Notre Dame beating USC is?
80% right now.
Now, this isn't you, Brad Powers, guessing. This is
nope.
The market saying 80%. So now Notre Dame's in undefeated if that happens. Now, let's think about this. You got the Michigan-Ohio State winner. You've got Oklahoma that could win out with one loss. And you've got Washington State could win out, be a Pac-12 champ with one loss. Do you agree those are the three most, or counting Michigan, Ohio State as one team, the Big Ten champ, the three most likely suspects?
No question about it. Those are the three.
Okay. So Central Florida's not even in the conversation.
No, they're not.
Okay. And just to be clear, you had a nice best bet winner on them on Friday. But right now, if Central Florida played, let's say, Michigan, a team that is not clearly right there, if they were playing Michigan, when I say Michigan is not one of the big three right now, what would the line be, Michigan, Central Florida?
Michigan be a 2-touchdown favorite over Central Florida.
So Vegas agrees that Central Florida shouldn't be in the conversation.
Yep.
If Michigan wins, they're in, I think. It's hard to imagine Oklahoma or Washington State. But here's the question. If Ohio State wins and Oklahoma wins out and Washington State wins out, what clues can we get from the way the rankings come out today? And what clues did we get from last week's rankings?
See, that's the question tonight. Both Oklahoma and Ohio State, not very impressive. It's going to be very interesting to see if either one of those two teams drops any in the playoff committee rankings tonight. What team did look impressive? Washington State, who won by 6 touchdowns over Arizona. Do the Cougars sneak up, maybe even ahead of Oklahoma? That's what we only have 2 data points left here, RJ.
So as of last week, based on last week's rankings, Washington State was where?
8.
And Ohio State was where?
10.
And Oklahoma was where?
6.
So the theory is Oklahoma wins out. They're telling us Oklahoma gets in. Can we imagine a one-loss Big Ten champion, Ohio State, not getting in? But by them being 10, it seems like the committee is setting us up for that.
Yeah, but also Ohio State was 6th in the rankings in 2014. The final ones prior to last week, they still got in, RJ.
Yeah. Let's hope. When we come back, not only Fez's early best bet, but a bonus best bet for me.
He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. It is a Tuesday tradition here on Straight Out of Vegas where Steve Fezzik, our NFL expert, gives you a look ahead to a particular betting line in the NFL.
And Fez, I got to tell you, in my opinion, you are the best NFL handicapper in the world. Public hand. I don't know about some secret guy that's doing something no one knows about, but publicly the best. But you're even better at line move predictions. What does that mean? It means you look at the market early and you'll say this line's going up, this line's going down, and you're famous for it.
In all the five boroughs, I'm known. I'm known all over the f-ing world.
8 games you've given so far on Straight Out of Vegas on Tuesdays, always, right before 7 o'clock Eastern. You've been right about the line move 6 times, wrong once, no line move, which is a wash, a tie, once. 6-1-1. In those games, 5 winners, 2 losers, 1 push. Mighty good. You have a mansion and a yacht because of it. Go this week.
Let's keep it going. Let's go with the Buffalo Bills. +3, +100. That is the current market line.
So that means if you take the Bills, you're getting 3, and you got to lay extra vig on Jacksonville. Thus, if you take the Bills, right now it's even money, +3. You don't think you'll be able to get that good of a line in the future. Why do you like the Bills?
Well, I don't like Jacksonville. I think this is a horrible spot, a dream crusher against Pittsburgh. We all saw it. They were 3-6, still mathematically alive, thinking to themselves, hey, we could run the table, and then they lose, go to 3-7. Now it's over. They know they're not going anywhere, and they were all in, and they gave that game away. I can't see Jacksonville being excited about going up to Buffalo in 40 degrees here in November.
Typically, over the course of even a month, NFL teams, they aggressively play. They even losing teams. We saw Raiders. We saw Arizona. What you'll see is 1 week flat spots. Whereas there's such a big disappointment or whatever other reason, in that 1 week they're flat. And I do believe the Bills have a big motivational edge here because Jacksonville is off a dream crusher. Best bet from Fez, Bills +3, even money. And bet it now if you like it, because he doesn't think it's going to be there for you later.
Watch the historic head-to-head 18-hole duel between iconic Tiger Woods and 5-time major champion Phil Mickelson for a winner-take-all $9 million. Capital One's The Match is live from Las Vegas this Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific. Watch on br.live and pay-per-view. RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on Tiger versus Phil?
Well, listen, Fez, again, this is a Fez love fest. He gave on the weekend edition of Straight Out of Vegas. By the way, there still is a best of weekend edition, 11 o'clock Pacific, Saturday night on Fox. You can listen to it. Bernie Fratto hosting. Fez, on that show, you gave out Tiger Woods to win at what odds?
-140.
140. Now, Tiger Woods up to -200. So right now, Vegas is saying about a 2-3 chance the Tiger wins, a 1-3 chance the Phil wins. I'll be honest, I still like Tiger at -200. Here's why. I don't love it. Maybe a little pizza money. I'd rather have the 140. I don't. You can give me some of that, Fez, if you want. We'll talk after the show. Here's why, though. If you look at the last two majors, the British and the PGA, and you add up everyone's scores. So you might say, well, what does that matter? I think it matters more. Because if you have 2 golf courses and 8 rounds of golf against the best in the world, all trying their hardest, isn't that more important than 1 golf course and 4 rounds? At least more telling? Maybe not more important because you don't get a trophy. You don't get a major. Well, you add up those scores. Tiger Woods had the very best score of all the players. So over the 2 last tournaments that really mattered last year, the 2 majors, Tiger Woods was the best golfer in the world. I don't think the question anymore is when is Tiger back. It's the fact he is back. That proves it. Phil, he's not back. So I like Tiger even at -200.
And you can watch that historic head-to-head 18-hole duel between the iconic Tiger Woods and 5-time major champion Phil Mickelson for a winner-take-all $9 million. Capital One's The Match is live from Las Vegas this Friday, November 23rd, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific. Watch on br.live and on pay-per-view.
All right, we got a minute. I'm going to give you a quick bonus best bet. This is called a correlated parlay. What's that mean? It's a 2-teamer. That's the parlay. The correlation is if one of the picks wins, it increases the chance the second pick wins. Here it is. Raiders. Yes. Raiders plus 10.5 under 42.5 points in the same game. What's the logic? I think the Ravens are going to be careful with Lamar Jackson's running in a game they should be able to win fairly easily. And if the Raiders do cover, that means the points are extra valuable, and unders and big underdogs tend to go well together. So bonus correlated parlay, Raiders plus 10.5, under 42.5 in the same game.
If you missed any of today's show, you can catch the podcast on foxsportsradio.com. We are Straight Out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.